Good morning. Very different looking out over the audience this morning. I'm excited you're here because I'm excited about what I have to say this morning. And so I appreciate your being here. A couple of things that I need to say before we even get started is last Wednesday evening after our midweek service, the men that were here met and a decision was made that we would take up a special contribution on January the 8th that would go towards retiring the expenses for the funeral of Aaron Rice. And so we continue to pray for Deb and that tragic loss as he died in a very, very unfortunate hiking accident in the Palladora Canyon in Amarillo. But in the meantime, if you want to make a check to help defray those expenses, feel free to do that and just make a notation in the bottom there that is for the Rice funeral and give it either to Ed Atkins or Mark Otter. And we will take care of that. There was something else that I wanted to say. I remember what it was now. My wife is not with me because she got a message last night that said I-70 was closed and she had to stay in Nashville with the grandchildren another day. And she said, oh, rats, I will do that. So I will be, Lord willing, I'll be picking her up at the airport tomorrow. And she just wanted you to know that she misses being here with you all, but she will forsake the assembly here so that she can spend time with our youngest grandson. So I'm sure that's a tragedy for her. Freedom. We sang about that in the songs that we sang this morning. We read it in the passage of Scripture that Dustin read for us. And there towards the end in 1 Peter chapter 2, we're encouraged not to forsake the freedom that we have in Christ. And oftentimes at this time of year, we look at this whole concept of Christmas, and you know, it's the thing to do to kind of look at that because the whole world is focused on this period of time. But you know, we celebrate the birth and the death and resurrection of Christ on a weekly basis, and really we celebrate that on a daily basis, and we don't wait just for one man-made day where we say this is what we do. But the whole purpose of the birth of Christ was really to set us free. And sometimes we lose that concept, especially this time of year when we're tied up in all of the advertisements and the media and the hoopla about Christmas. And I want you to know that I enjoy receiving gifts as much as you do, and I probably enjoy giving gifts more than I enjoy receiving them. And so I think that's part of life, and as we mature in life, we come to appreciate a lot of those things. But what I want to focus on this morning is this whole concept of freedom. And freedom is something that is so inherent within our own selves. And, you know, here within the state of Missouri, we're called the Show Me State because we want to see what it's all about, because nobody is going to tell us what to do, right? You know, we have the freedom to be who we want to be and do what I want to do. And, you know, when you try to tell somebody you can't do this or you cannot do that, you know, we have a problem. Right, Dustin? Yeah. Why you? She's sitting right there in the front. You know, and so this whole concept of freedom is not something that is foreign to us. I get stirred up when I watch movies sometimes. I don't often watch movies, and I learned a long time ago not to recommend watching movies from the pulpit, because sometimes you watch movies and you don't realize there's things that are in there that maybe you don't need to be part of. But there is a couple of things that I want to encourage you. I get stirred up when I watch productions like Don't Cry For Me, Argentina, where Eva Perón really inspires the whole Argentina nation of people to rise up against the corruption that was there. and it kind of stirs you on the inside to embrace freedom. I get stirred up when I watch movies like Braveheart, which is a very violent movie, but William Wallace really led the Scots to revolt against the English, and the hairs on my arms still stand up when I think of that scene right towards the end of the movie where he's about to have his head lobbed off, and they say, you know, you got anything to say? And he shouts out, freedom! And very, very chilling. And yet in that one word, freedom, I believe is declared beyond anything else, you know, really what he died for. You know, it speaks to us volumes about the passion that he had. He had a lifelong mission and vision that he wanted to encourage his countrymen to embrace with him. And a signified commitment. Destiny, duty, loyalty, and a love that surpassed all understanding. It really drove him even when the odds against him were insurmountable. And so I believe that such movies like that, and many more, really appeal to men more than women. I think women would be stirred on to passion and in life by Hallmark movies rather than by Braveheart and movies like that. But the point is that we all have a button on the inside that can be pushed that stirs up our passion, that stirs up something inside of us that would cause us to react and to go beyond that which is the normal thing to do. William Wallace in Braveheart, he challenged men to fight for freedom in spite of the risks that he undertook. And one of the great lines in the movie, I think, is this line where he says, every man dies, but not every man really lives. And the essence of that is taken from Scripture. And when you look and understand Scripture, that's basically what he's talking about. And he inspired his countrymen to live for a cause, or to live for a dream, or to live for an ideal, to live for a belief system, to live for something that was tangible. And when we look at that and we cross that over into what Christianity is meant to be, and who Christ is, and what Christ came to give us, the crossover is not a stretch of the imagination. And so, can you sense, as you look at that, just dwelling on that, can you sense the same challenge that God has for us today as children of God? As we are on the brink of another annual worldwide festival that happens in our communities, can you sense the challenge that God is offering us as we look at the birth of Christ? You see, people who are purposeless just merely exist. They really don't have anything to look for. Their lives make very little impact on those who are around them. Their influence is minimal, to say the very, very least. So let me take a leaf from the page of Winston Churchill, and he made this statement down here in Fulton, Missouri, back in the 40s, to illustrate what I'm saying. He said, and he asked this question, he said, why is it that a ship beats the waves when the waves are so many? And the answer is simple. Because the ship has purpose. And our purpose, beloved, is to glorify and to honor God in all that we do. When we open up the Scriptures, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament, and we read through Scripture, then the message becomes loud and clear for us that we need to live our lives in such a way that we honor God. And we glorify Him in all that we do because we understand who He is and what He has done for us. And so listen, if you will, to some of the scriptures that speak very specifically about that. In the book of Jeremiah, when we start in the Old Testament, and in chapter 29 and verse 11, the prophet of God says, "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future of hope." And I think the proverb writer, in his wisdom, as he spoke about this whole concept, in Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 4, he said that the Lord has made everything for its purpose, even the wicked for the day of trouble. And so we look through the Old Testament and we see that God always had a plan and had a purpose for His created genius, us, mankind. And we look into the New Testament, and in 1 Peter chapter 1, chapter 2 and verse 9, part of the passage that Dustin read for us, he says, But you are a chosen race, you are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for His own possession, that's God's possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness. And by understanding, He called us out of being held in bondage in darkness to have a freedom to live in His marvelous light. And Matthew chapter 28 and verses 18, 19 and 20, as Jesus spoke to His disciples, the last thing He said to them as He ascended into heaven after His resurrection, He said, "All authority is given to me in heaven and on earth." And He says, "Go therefore and make disciples." And sometimes that passage of scripture is so misunderstood. He's not saying, "You go and do this," but He's saying, as you go about your daily life, as you go about your activities, as you go about living, He said, "Make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you." And then He says, "And lo, I will be with you even until the very end of the age." You know, what an amazing purpose. You know, when we sit down and we stop scrutinizing words in passages of Scripture, and there's a time and a place for that, but when we sit down and we look at the message of God that is given in antiquity and even that is relevant in the time that we live in today, His message is a message of freedom so that we can honor Him and glorify Him. There's no water in that. Our purpose is not to do something on specific days, at specific times, but our purpose in life becomes a lifestyle. Becomes the very essence of what is brought into the concepts of movies like Don't Cry For Me, Argentina, and Braveheart, into the very concept of what Winston Churchill spoke in his motivation speeches, not only to the English communities, but to the Western world as they rose up against the evil that was about to destroy them. And so it becomes a concept of a lifestyle, a passion, a dream, maybe a duty, a sense of belonging, a sense of something that is destined to be a response of this incredible loving gift that God has given us in the birth of His Son. And so when we look at our relationship with God, when we look at our relationship one with another, I believe Paul captures it well in what he spoke to us as he speaks to the Roman church. If you have your Bibles with you, turn to Romans chapter 12. And I want you to notice that Paul speaks very specifically about this whole concept of freedom and of purpose. That is our lifestyle that is of critical importance to the whole concept of the birth of Christ. He says in verse 1 of chapter 12, he says, I urge you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And then he carries on and he says, do not be conformed to this world, but rather, and get this, he says, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And that transformation happens in the whole process that starts with the birth of Christ and the gift that God has given us in His Son Jesus. And he says, to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, that will prove what the will of God is. Which is what? To honor and to glorify Him. That is a 24/7 aspect of life. That we may prove that. And that which is good and acceptable and perfect. And so the gift that God has given us in His Son, Christ Jesus, is not a gift that we can just honor and recognize on one day of the week in the year, because that's what the world speaks to us about. But rather it's a gift that is given to us that needs to continuously be reminded to us, because it gives us the freedom that we can only have in Christ. A freedom that is released from the bondage of darkness. A freedom that gives us hope of doing the things that would bring honor and glory to God. A freedom that gives us confidence that that which we do today, while it may not be rewarded in material things of this world, but it will be rewarded in the eternal things that are beyond where we are today. And so, we don't recognize this gift that God gives us in His Son as the world recognizes it, but rather as children of God, we recognize the gift in the birth of Christ Jesus as something that offers us freedom, that offers us the very epitome of what Hollywood and the rest of the world has captured to evoke our passions to do something that they want to do. Suddenly we look at it in the historical figures of our world, and we can see how freedom is generated or generates a passion that stirs us to go beyond where we're at. Scripture tells us that God so loved the world that He gave us His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in Him would not perish but have everlasting life. And Paul speaks to the Corinthians and he reminds them very, very succinctly that our thanks is to God for this inexpressible gift that He's given us. It's unbelievable when you think down and try to contemplate and to take in the whole concept of God's coming to earth in the birth of His Son, Jesus. Romans chapter 6 and verse 23 reminds us that we have all sinned and fall short of the grace of God. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. And so my intent this morning merely is to share with us something that would take us away from the media, take us away from the commercialization of what's happening in the season around us, and to focus on to the reality of our life in Christ Jesus. Beloved, it is this gift that God has given us that gives us purpose and direction 24/7. It is something that enables us to live beyond the tragedies that happen in our lives. It is something that happens within us that gives us direction and purpose, even though the material things of this world may not satisfy our desires. But it is something that is within us that allows us to look beyond that. And so when we look at that, and we understand that, and we embrace that, we need to recognize that even though there are times when we're tempted to move beyond where God has called us, that this gift of God allows us the freedom to start fresh. I don't know about you, but for me, that is something that I really treasure in terms of my relationship with God. I'm nowhere near perfect, as many of you know. But neither are you. And all of us have need to come before God. And the love that our God has for us has been evidenced by the birth of His Son. By Him coming to this earth in the form of man. Enduring the horrific, barbaric treatment of man, crucified. But He overcame that. And that He is the only person, if we can call Jesus Christ a person, who has died and resurrected. And we still don't know where His bones are. The tomb is still empty. And that's what gives us hope of the truthfulness of what God has told us in His Son. It gives us hope of the truthfulness that we can have freedom from that which He has, freedom from that which has burdened us in the world. Jesus speaks to us about that through Matthew in chapter 11 and verse 28. And He says, "Come unto me, all of you who are heavy laden, and learn from me, for my yoke is light and easy, and you will find rest for your souls." And so as we look at the text, as we understand Scripture, and as we look at the reality of the birth of Christ, He gives us freedom that we can only experience because of Him. As we look at this next week, as we head up into the Christmas season, as the world calls it, my prayer is that you will be mindful of the presence of God and the freedoms that He has given you. And that your passion would be to share the hope of Christ in a loving way, in a vibrant way, in a way that would bring people to understand that we are a chosen people. We are a people who march to a different drumbeat. We are a people of God who have purpose and direction in our lives. So as we contemplate this amazing grace of our Creator God, I pray that your passions would be in the fore and not be suppressed by the worldly influences that we experience. I want to leave you with two passages of Scripture this morning. Two passages of Scripture that I think would give us direction as we go into the following week. The first is found in the book of Isaiah, chapter 13 and verse 12, where the prophet of old speaks to us and he tells us that God will make people more rare than gold and mankind than the gold of Ophir. Now, I want you to understand the significance of what Isaiah is saying here, because ever since we have records of the history of mankind that dates back thousands of years, gold has always been a precious commodity. And what God is saying, He is saying that He has made us, mankind, more precious than gold, the commodity that the world has held in high esteem in all of antiquity. And then in 1 Peter chapter 2, and again back to the passage that Dustin read for us in verse 10, I love this verse of Scripture. He says, "For once you were not a people, but now you are a people of God." Because of the birth of Christ, we are now a people of God. And we once never had mercy, but now we have received mercy. And so that's significant. For me it is. And I hope and pray to God that as you look at your life through the rest of this week and the weeks ahead of us, that you would constantly be mindful of this precious gift that God has given us. And it's not just a gift of a baby in a manger, but it's a gift of freedom that releases us from the bondage of sin and empowers us to live a life that is not march to the drumbeat of the world, but is a life that is full of peace and love because of the hope we have in Christ Jesus. John has a song for us that he's going to lead us in singing. My prayer, beloved, is that this week, your time here this morning has been beneficial for you as you contemplate on the things that God has revealed to us about this precious gift of the birth of His Son, Jesus.